Welcome to The Ride Home, a podcast where we will explore all things fellowship, the scriptures, change life stories, interviews, social issues, and anything else the Spirit might lead us to ponder. My name is Mickey Rapier, and I'm one of the pastors here at Fellowship Bible Church of Northwest Arkansas. Our goal in this podcast is to draw near to God, knowing as James 4:8 tells us, He will draw near to us. And we're here today with Debbie Rambeau from Samaritan Community Center. Debbie, thanks for stopping by. It's great to have you.
Well, thanks for having me.
Yeah, absolutely. Samaritan Community Center is a great organization here in Northwest Arkansas. It started with a group of people out of Fellowship Bible Church who just wanted to see those less fortunate in our community taken care of. And I remember the little place where they started. They didn't have much room. They didn't have much money, but Fellowship got behind it. And under your leadership, it has grown exponentially, Debbie. And I often wish those who started in that little garage area back there, I wish they could see it today and what it's become. Because it truly is making a difference in Northwest Arkansas. So first of all, tell us about yourself, about your involvement with the center. Just let us get to know you a little bit better.
Well, I've been involved with the center back when it was Samaritan House, and it was an outreach of Fellowship. Started in 1998, 1999. Mm-hmm. My husband actually volunteered, and he was going back to school to get his degree in education. And so he would volunteer in the mornings. And eventually he got to the point where he had to go to work when he got through with school. And a mutual friend of ours started volunteering in his place. And his name's Wes Wallace. And he wanted to do a Sunday evening service for the people that came into Samaritan House so they'd have a place just to come together and worship and learn more about Jesus. And so we started volunteering and bringing food and serving a meal. And one thing kind of led to another. And then when Wes shared with me that Samaritan House was going to become a nonprofit by itself in 2002, he asked if it would be something that I would consider making a move. And about that time, I had kind of gone through what would call it kind of a, not a midlife crisis per se, but just kind of a reassessment at my halfway point, kind of what did I want to do with the rest of my life. And I decided it was time for me to make a change. So in 2002, I came on board as the first and only executive director and have been there for 18 years plus.
So, yeah. And I've served on the board for several years, and I've witnessed firsthand your expertise and knowledge and your heart for the people in Northwest Arkansas and for the staff and volunteers of Samaritan Community Center. And you do a fantastic job. I'll just say that. And we see it borne out in the numbers and all the different ministries that are happening there. So tell us, during COVID-19, we've had a time like we've never known before. And you all have been at the point of the spear. You've been out front making a difference. Tell us about the numbers of people that you've helped and maybe a few stories that have come out of this.
Sure. Back in March, when COVID kind of came to the forefront and we started learning more about it and that sort of thing, we realized that our face-to-face type of ministry was not going to be something that we could continue in the same environment just because it wouldn't be safe for our team and it wouldn't be safe for the people we served. So we literally overnight converted to a completely drive-through and online or via telephone type of ministry and started serving curbside, offering drive-through services where clients can pull up in their cars on their bicycles, some of them even walk, and we could continue to serve them hot meals and provide them groceries, and if they have kids, snack packs, even providing pet food for their animals. And it's been a crazy 16, 18 weeks later, we are definitely seeing record numbers. A lot of people who've never been to a food pantry before, which has been a kind of a different challenge for us because there's a lot of emotion that's involved with people concerning their damaged pride, for lack of a better word.
But they need food.
Oh, they need food. And and they're just humbled and embarrassed. And so it gives us an opportunity to really love on people, mm-hmm. But we still have to do it at a distance, which we all kind of dislike that part because we're a hugging kind of people. and so that's kind of been a challenge for us, but it's been, it's really been good. We've seen a lot of families that, you know, have said, you know, I've always been the person on the other side, reaching out and caring for other people. And now I find myself receiving, and giving is a lot easier than receiving. And I think that's true for most people.
Yeah.
It's a lot easier to reach out and help someone than to accept help, even when you need it. And so, it's been great. We've seen, like I said, a big increase in the number of new clients that we've seen. Normally that runs about 10 to 12% of the people that we serve are new, being that they've never been to Samaritan before. Right now that's running right around 25%, 26%. And we're seeing significant increases in the number. When we look at the number of families we serve over the last 16 weeks, we've served an increase of 146%. Which is,
wow.
That's just crazy. But God has been so good. He's brought new volunteers. He's brought food donations, financial donations. And we've just kind of realized that this is not something we could do on our own. It's something that's going to take the community at large. And it's going to take a lot more faith than fear when it comes to reaching out and doing what we know we need to do.
So. Right. Well, I know for the people of Fellowship, there's great confidence in knowing that you all, you have a system. You have a system there that works and something that we can support and get behind. And rather than reinvent the wheel somewhere, we can jump on board and help you all. And I always say data trumps opinion. But the numbers just bear this out. I was just looking at the difference between 2019 and 2020. Now, a lot of this is COVID-related with the help, but could you share some of those percentages with us and numbers of people that you all have served between last year and this year?
Sure. What I did is I kind of compared quarter to quarter. Our fourth quarter ends mm-hmm. June 30. And so when you look at 2019, we served 22,790 meals in our two cafes in Rogers and Springdale.
And that's just in the fourth quarter.
That's just in the fourth quarter in 2019. But in 2020, we've had a 30% increase. And so we've served 29,661 in that exact same time period. So it's stats talk.
That's a lot of meals.
Yeah. And then especially where we've really seen the increase has been in our food pantry area, which we call the market. And in 2019, we served 2,511 families during that fourth quarter. But this year, we've served in the fourth quarter 5,611. So that's 123% increase. Mm-hmm. And we've seen those numbers go up even since the end of the quarter. The numbers have gone up. And the last 2 weeks have been definitely our busiest week so far. And when you look at total number of people, that's 11,000 people that were given groceries last year. But it's like 26,000 this year. So that's a huge increase.
11,000 versus 26.
Yes. And like I shared earlier, the percentage of new families has gone up really dramatically.
Yeah.
And so one of the things that we decided that we needed to do since we've seen such a large increase is we're trying to identify who are we serving and why are the numbers so significantly up. So we're trying to get some data collection, working with a couple of other organizations to really see where the gaps are in the community. And we've been able to work with several groups out of Springdale to really focus in on the communities most affected by COVID-19, especially in Washington County, and that is the Latinx and the Marshallese communities. Mm-hmm. And so we've been able to provide food baskets that have been not delivered by our team, but by team from UAMS to all those families that they have in quarantine, trying to keep that COVID-19 down. And so we've been able to provide food baskets that way and just do some other things to really get into those communities where they may not have as many options as others.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Well, that's tremendous. I tell you what, that makes a difference in the Northwest Arkansas community for people to know that Samaritan Community Center is there and ready to help them. And with the increased need, there's an increased need for funds.
Always.
Volunteers.
Yes.
All that. And you always have room for more people to get involved.
We, you know, one of the things that we really love about what we do is – that we have such a strong volunteer community that supports us. We have a handful of admin staff and program staff, but the majority of the work, by and large, about 400 to 450 people every week during a normal time period do the actual work. I mean, they're the ones that are serving and you know, preparing meals and bagging groceries and encouraging people and delivering snack packs, all that sort of thing. This has been a little different with COVID because we've really tried to encourage our volunteers who are maybe in a higher risk category, older, those that have immunocompromised type health, encourage them to take this season to stay home and kind of support us behind the scenes. And that's allowed a lot of newer people to kind of come in and join. And we've had some great volunteers join with us. Some of our older volunteers have slowly kind of drifted back in and said that they're tired of sitting at home and sitting on the sidelines. And we're like, come back if you feel like you can take the risk. But we have two great ladies on board who've really put together some amazing protocols to make sure that we keep our staff and our volunteers safe. And I think I could hire them out to the community to teach the community how to make sure that you have good protocols in place. So I feel really good about that with the older employees and the older volunteers coming back. But it's been great to see the community at large just reach out and bring masks by the hundreds to make sure that we have plenty of masks to just show up with food. And I mean, we've had people show up with gift cards for our staff and people that I had a gentleman walk in the other day and he said, I want to give you this and I want you to give it to somebody that'll make a difference. And he handed me a check for $1,000 and he said, use it to make a difference. And just a few days later, we had a single mom who called and she was in tears and she had lost her job. She wasn't getting her child support and she was going to be evicted. And that $1,000, I mean, we took care of it just like that. Yeah. In fact, our social workers have worked really hard to help make sure that families aren't getting evicted. Yeah. And so we've been able to help about 16 families over the last 3 to 4 months to maintain stable housing, which is good because we know once a family loses housing and they become homeless, getting them back into housing is more expensive than if we would have just help them maintain it in the in the process. So it's been
because you have deposits and everything else.
And so it's been great just to watch God at work in the lives of the staff and the volunteers.
Yeah. Oh, that's awesome. Well, now something that's near and dear to me, and I love the ministry of the Snack Packs for Kids. Tell us how all this has affected Snack Packs.
Well, Snack Packs for Kids, for those who aren't familiar with it, is a program where we work with 168 schools across the 4-county region, and each school identifies children that they feel like are at risk for hunger on the weekends, and we provide the school with bags of food, and the school quietly gets them to the children for them to take home on Fridays, which the system has run like clockwork for years. And then COVID happened and school started canceling and doing home instruction. And so we've kind of had a really interesting ride. It's been amazing to watch educators that have a passion for their kids and are concerned that so much that they're not sleeping at night because they're afraid their kids don't have access to food. We've had teachers literally by the hundreds come and pick up snack packs and personally deliver them to houses of kids that they know are at risk. It just gives me chill bumps. Yeah. We've had a lot of schools that have picked up snack packs. And so when they have kids come in to turn in their Chromebooks or to pick up packets of information if they're not using Chromebooks, they're able to distribute them then. So we're working kind of on a tentative quasi model for the upcoming year because we know we're going to have a lot of kids that are going to be at home and then we're going to have a lot of kids at school. So trying to work with the schools to identify how's the best way for us to get food to every kid that's in need.
Yeah.
And so it'll be an interesting year. We'll see. Hopefully the COVID numbers won't go up too much more and we'll get to have school and be able to feed those kids every week.
Right. And a main source of income for the Snack Packs for Kids program are thrift stores.
Yes. Yes. We have two thrift stores and they provide about a third of our total income for the whole organization. And so when COVID happened, after a couple of weeks, we decided that we needed to really wait and see how this was going to play out and to protect our team. And so we decided that we would close. So we temporarily closed our stores. One of them was closed for almost 2 months, and the other one was closed for about 2.5 months. But we've recently reopened, and business is fairly good. Not everybody likes to wear masks, so not everybody wants to shop, and that's okay too. But we're hoping that it will kind of regenerate and recuperate some of the funds that we've lost and be able to continue to support snack packs and the other things that are out there. So.
Right. And I always remind people that, you know, when you're going to get rid of furniture or put it up for sale or anywhere, you know, you can take it to the Samaritan Thrift Store and it will be, you know, utilized there, and you're helping feed kids.
Right here in Northwest Arkansas.
Yes.
You know, that's one of the things that that we always try to make sure people understand is that our thrift store, every penny you spend stays right here in Northwest Arkansas when you buy something. But when you donate something, that is either sold to someone here in Northwest Arkansas or it's actually given away. And we have a lot of families that we help with furniture and household items and clothing, families that have come out of homelessness when there's a fire, abusive situations where people leave with just the clothes on their backs.
Mm-hmm.
Those thrift stores are able to help meet that need. So it kind of does a dual purpose when you make a donation.
Right, right. And you also will pick up items.
Yes, we're kind of in the process of resetting that and re-engaging just because of COVID.
Yeah.
We're starting to do those pickups in our Rogers location in the next couple of weeks, and then we'll start in Springdale after that.
Okay. Well, I've told people before, hey, you don't have to take it up there. They will come pick it up. Just give them a call.
Yes.
And if at all able. But I know this is with COVID, it's a different time, and you all are working through all that. And then I just want to mention the dental work. Is that put on hold for a while, or?
Well, it has been, but today, actually, is our first day.
Okay.
Saw a handful of patients today. Back when before the governor closed down dental clinics back in at the end of March, 1st of April, we'd already made a decision to kind of disengage for a little bit till we see how this played out. And so we just saw our first patient today. I had to change a lot of our protocols and add some new equipment and safety processes, more time between patients so you can disinfect, that sort of thing.
Right.
So, but we just reopened today, seeing some of our patients that are not new patients, but returning patients.
Right.
And then eventually in the next 6 to 8 weeks, we'll start adding new patients to that roster.
But for them to be able to get free dental care.
It's huge.
It's huge.
And last year we served about just shy of 1,200 people.
Wow.
Which is great. And provided about $450,000 in free care. So
that's incredible. Well, you've got a big event coming up. The Backpacks for Kids, and it's a way that our folks at Fellowship and outside Fellowship can get involved, help these kids get ready for school. Tell us all about it and how we can make a difference.
Well, just like everything else, COVID has kind of changed the face of our backpack program. In years past, we've had a big back-to-school party in 3 locations simultaneously and distributed backpacks with school supplies to Northwest Arkansas families. And the way the parents would reserve those backpacks and get a voucher for a backpack would be to come into our market. But since our market's closed and we're doing drive-through, this year we're going to do it a little differently. We're partnering with all of our schools. Like I said earlier, we have 168 schools that we work with for snack packs. And so we're going to be distributing those backpacks to the schools directly. And those schools will have them before the year starts. So when parents come for open house, that sort of thing, then they can connect with the teachers or the social workers or the counselors and get backpacks if that's something that their children need. I was sharing with someone, even if we end up only going to school for 2 months and then we end up going back home, kids are still going to need school supplies.
Right.
That's not going to change. And so we have 4,000 backpacks. Tyson Food was our main sponsor, and they purchased the backpacks for us. Where this year is a little different is historically we've worked with 10 to 15 churches in Northwest Arkansas and a lot of businesses and had school supply drives where people could buy school supplies, bring them to churches, drop them off, and then we would go around and pick them up. but most churches are not meeting.
Right.
And then the vendor community was a really strong supporter of backpacks as well. And a lot of those offices are closed and those individuals are working from home. So we're not having the access to people and to have organized collections of supplies this year. So we're having to do things a little different. And so we're encouraging people to do one or two things, either to purchase supplies and drop them off at the center in Rogers at 1211 Hudson Road, or to drop them off at either one of our thrift stores, Samaritan Shop of Rogers, which is 2115 West Walnut, or Samaritan Shop of Springdale, which is 2300 West Sunset. You can drop those off anytime, and we have big containers to leave the supplies in. Mm. Or you can go online. We actually have a website that's connected through Walmart.com, and it's called Registry for Good. It's similar to a baby registry, except it's a nonprofit registry. And if you go out and look for Samaritan Community Center, a lot of the items that we need are out there. You can order them online. They'll be delivered to us via UPS, and we'll open those up and count the supplies and see what we need. And at the end, we'll just have to buy whatever's left.
Right. Right. But it can be donated as well.
Definitely.
And also, you can host a school supply drive.
Yes.
And contact Shannon at sgreen@samcc.org. Well, this is a tremendous opportunity for us to get involved and make a difference for the kids, and also pray.
Yes.
For Samaritan Community Center, because it is a ministry to our community. And we're reaching out to those who are less fortunate, and helping them get on their feet at times. And so thank you, Debbie, for the work that you do. And I know around Samaritan Community Center, Micah 6:8.
That's right.
Do justly, love mercy, walk humbly with God. That's your goal, and that's what you want to do. And we know that people don't care how much we know until they know how much we care. And this is a beautiful opportunity for us to care for them. So thank you for stopping in. Thank you for all the information. They can go to your website. This week on our fellowship news, there will be information and links to the things that you've mentioned. So we want to make it as easy for people as we possibly can to be a part. God bless you.